diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I'm getting fine, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to Fourth and John, episode 232. This is the Eagles versus the Chiefs recap. Sometimes you think you're going to have a splendid outcome watching these games after like a great day of tailgating. Shout out to the people who tailgated. The pregame was amazing. Lots of suds, good times with everybody. But when you got into the stadium, the vibes were there early. People were checking in. Gail, what's the vibe like? How's the stadium? Fans were up. Fans were ready for this. They were excited. And before the game, people were asking me, do you think we can compete with the Chiefs? And I was like, you know what? If they can keep up with the Joneses, the way the Chiefs' offense is set up, ridiculous. I mean, it's one of the most elite units in the league. How do you keep up with an offense like that? Can this Eagles offense down Lane Johnson prior to the game keep up with such a high-powered a team in the Chiefs? And you're wondering, like, I mean, Jalen Hurts, he did have one of his best performances. Overall, I liked what they did this week, the misdirection. The pre-snap movement, running the ball. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we were asking for from Sirianni the week before, and we got something out of the offense. This week it turned to the defense, man. I mean, dropping we got 240 burgers in the last 2 weeks. Overall, you can't feel good about what the defense has done out there. But at the end of the day, the penalties really have been kicking the Eagles' butt. We're talking about the most penalized team in the NFL right now. Sirianni's got to get that cleaned up, and I'm not quite sure what he has to do to get to that level of making these guys figure it out. But we got issues, guys. We are 1-3. How are you guys feeling?
Well, I mean, honestly, if I'm being real, you went into that game a lot more optimistically than I did. I was walking around talking to people at the tailgate, and I was just being real. I was going in there. I did not have high expectations for that game. I mean, Kansas City, I'm pretty sure they scored over like 30 points in almost all their games. And we just simply don't have the offense, I think, to keep up with a team like that. I was getting asked a lot during the tailgate, people coming up and asking, you think we could pull it off today? I didn't want to throw a wet blanket on him, but I kind of just I hit him with reality. I was like, honestly, I'm just the Chiefs are coming in here angry. They were 1-2. Andy Reid was going for his 100th win with a different organization. First coach, I believe, ever to win 100 games with two different teams. I just didn't feel like it was our week to shine with all of the problems that we've had. Leading up to this game, whether it be the running, and honestly, it got pretty funny inside the stadium when the entire crowd was out there chanting "Run the ball." When it just felt like the first drive was great. I feel like we moved the ball effortlessly down the field, ended up getting stopped, but then it felt like once again we just went away from the run. And granted, like you said, we did have those pre-snap motions. We did get a few more touches, but let's be real: Miles Sanders again got 7 carries. And I believe he was out-touched by Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Gainwell only had 3 carries, but he was all over the receiving the ball. I mean, he had 6 receptions. I just don't understand what Miles Sanders is in this offense right now. I'm not sure if Nick Sirianni doesn't have the confidence in him. I feel like this entire fan base has confidence in Miles Sanders. We've seen what he can do prior to Nick Sirianni being here, but for some reason, Sirianni's shutting them down, and that's really hurting our offense. Yesterday was a great day. Nonetheless, we had a great tailgate, and I want to thank everybody that came out. And thank you guys. I want to take a moment to thank you guys for my lovely apron and chef's hat that you hooked it up with. It was very nice.
Yeah, man. I don't even know where to start. You know, besides the tailgate, pretty much set the whole day off. You know, it was definitely another successful one. Game wise, yeah, I was pretty much getting approached throughout the tailgate. How do I feel going into the game? Honestly, my answer was, I just want to have a great tailgate, which we accomplished. Just go watch the game. You know, I mean, that's it. Like,
translate that for me. Not high expectations for the game.
Not at all. I mean, it's at the point where it is where it is. It is what it is. And, you know, I mean, I'm just there to enjoy it, be supportive, and, you know, try to make the best of it. It was a great, you know, it was good to see the offense put something together. But it definitely got overran by that defense, not being able to go ahead and stop anybody, man. I mean, it was sad. It was just like every possession they scored on us. It was, if that defense can't stop anything, they're not helping the offense at all. So, and that was proof in the pudding yesterday. It was definitely the outcome that most expected. Again, you know, it was exciting, and it started getting even more exciting when you thought we were competing at one point, but then we just lost it. We couldn't keep up. So, you know, at the end of the day, let's move on to Carolina.
I honestly feel like we've just been getting absolutely run on ever since BG went down, man. This defense against the run looks completely different. It looks like Swiss cheese ever since the BG injury. I'm not sure if you guys have kind of made the same connection.
Man, you know, it's death taxes and Eagles penalty. That's what you can expect this season. I'm not sure if they can clean it up. But overall, I mean, you just talk about, you know, the vibes. It was just eerie. You know, people were just overly thinking that we were going to lose this game. And I did feel that from people, you know, just there was just a vibe that started early in the morning. But again, like when I was just surprised how our offense played, given the fact that we have four, you know, starting offensive linemen in four games out. I mean, You're talking about Jason Kelce's the elder statesman holding everything together. But you do have to give credit to, you know, the guys up front who, you know, like Herbig and you know, you're just thinking about how do they pull that off? You know, hats off to Stoutland for what he did. Getting these guys ready to compete. We're going to have, you know, the offense can look pretty decent against Swiss cheese defenses out there. Like if it's not a stellar defense out there, I think we can look pretty good. We can look okay. But when you hit a juggernaut defense, this is where our team struggles a little bit. But again, I mean, we could go back and forth about which is the biggest issue that you guys feel moving forward. I mean, right now there's a lot of moving parts with, you know, with guys being out. Like you can't, if I could just say four starting offensive linemen out in four games, losing Brandon Graham, your captain of the defense, out for the season. That's kind of unheard of. So, I mean, we're already hit with adversity.
Is it unheard of? This is Philadelphia. This is the shit we deal with on a yearly basis.
two years in a row. Like, again, how many lineup changes by the offensive line have we been seeing? It's crazy.
We're probably on track to break our last year's record.
Yeah, and honestly, when that forces younger guys to get thrust into this lineup, and they don't exactly have the experience to compete, and I mean, Todd brings up a point here. He says, what's up with all, took it away from me, mofo. Todd says, what's up with all these ineligible downfield receiver penalties, even on the non-RPO plays? And I think this is just a symptom of being a young, undisciplined team. That's a lot of what we have going on in these penalties. These guys haven't played with each other enough, and this is just growing pains. And unfortunately, the only thing that I think can fix growing pains is time together. So this is just one of those things where we have to just kind of bear through this year, and hopefully we learn some things along the way.
But that's just the thing, Evan. I mean, we all knew this. So, I mean, this is a puzzle that's still spread out in pieces. that's just finding this way to come together. And
we didn't even find the corners yet.
Yeah. And then, you know, eventually put this picture that, you know, we're supposed to go ahead and complete. Yesterday, I mean, there was definitely progress in that offense, moving that ball. I mean, again, where was that shit the Monday that we wanted to see that against the Cowboys? But hey, it's done and over with. Yesterday was a different day. Got to see some offense, gave the crowd a reason to go ahead and cheer. You know, I got super excited seeing some of these passes get made, you know, with the completions, the touchdowns. It started getting exciting, but then, you know, it was just like, okay, I can enjoy this shit for about 5 seconds because here comes the defense. I'm gonna go ahead and give it right back. And here we go again, getting pissed off. But talk about undisciplined. Like, what the hell is Derek Barnett's problem? Gail, this is your boy. So help me understand.
How's this my boy?
This is your boy.
My boy.
Thank like, you, Evan. Put him on the spot. This is my boy. Your boy, bro. Okay. You went the back for this guy. What is his deal, man?
To put him as the 25th most important player on this defense. Yeah.
What is the deal with this guy, man?
Is that his boy though? Because I mean, he did just make a point there, and there was kind of a little bit of a blow up argument in the chat earlier.
I moved Sweat up because that was my boy. Sweat is my boy.
Sweat is his
yes.
boy. Yeah, no,
that is my boy.
Sweat is his boy. 100%.
But you know, there's ESP put out a number of penalties that have been committed by veterans though. Which is interesting. Lane Johnson has 5. He's got 4 offensive holding, 1 ineligible downfield. Sumalu's got 3 false start, 1 offensive holding. Andre Dillard has 2 holding, 1 ineligible downfield, 1 illegal formation. Derek Barnett has 3 unnecessary roughness, defensive offside, and 1 roughing the passer. Zach Ertz has 2 false starts. Josh Sweat, encroachment. Neutral zone infraction, Fletcher Cox, encroachments, legal use of hands, Hassan Ridgeway, 2 defensive holdings, Javon Hargraves, encroachment, unsportsmanlike conduct, Anthony Harris has 2 defensive pass interferences. So, I mean, when we talk about, you know, growing pains, it's like some of these guys are veterans, though.
I know. Some of these guys are veterans, like a guy that I was really expecting to come in here and help us out in Eric Wilson. Granted, he did get that interception yesterday, and that did help his stock a little bit, but has otherwise been kind of a turnstile. It's been getting we've been having bad matchups. Who was it? What was it, Eric Wilson, or it was on the first Tyreek Hill touchdown?
Eric Wilson.
I called that out, and I was like, listen, you clearly have a mismatch right there with Tyreek Hill and Eric Wilson. Like that's all day. You go to Tyreek Hill. It's not even an issue.
I still can't even understand that line.
I mean, you could see it pre-snap anywhere. You know,
we were sitting. I said it right there. I was like, oh, we got a linebacker.
Just overall, Mahomes. You could see it pre-snap where anywhere there was a mismatch, he was finding it right away. Mm-hmm. So he was like, all right, pick the scap. There it is over there. But again, like you're talking about the way that our defense is set up, it's almost like exposing like the weakest part of our group. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have these linebackers that they're out there. You know, you got the too high look, you know, making sure the big play doesn't happen and you're zoning it out not so aggressively. And some people are like, why don't we blitz? But if you look, you know, a lot of teams have had success not blitzing Mahomes as of late, and he's been throwing interceptions, throwing an extra guy in there in coverage. But overall, you're just like, can this defense, the way it's set up, our linebackers, they're not guys that can come up and fill against the run. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are they overly great in the middle of the field against the pass?
No, I mean, if you look at our defense on pretty much all of its layers, whether it's the D-line, linebackers, or the defensive backs, I mean, we really don't have I mean, elite is a strong word to use, but we don't have a really, really solid layer to this defense. Not a single one of them. I mean, obviously the linebackers have been trash for years. That's just something that we've grown accustomed to, but with the loss of BG, like I've been saying, like that is truly felt on that defensive line. They became a lot more porous. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he kind of had a day against us. And then with our defensive backs, I mean, Darius Slay got a little exposed yesterday. I mean, I know he was on Twitter defending himself, but he did get a little. Tyreek Hill's Tyreek Hill, man. But
hey, Jennifer Slay said she's gonna stop giving out jerseys, so you all need to chill out with the Slay slander out here. I mean, at the end of the day, that's not really the way that our defense is set up. You're not utilizing our guys to their strength. I mean, you just talk about, you know, everyone's like, what happened to the big play, Slay? Meanwhile, they're hitting up Steven Nelson for the big play. They're going opposite Slay. So, I mean, like, really, I think just the way that those guys are out there, it's not helping them. You know, it's the bend but don't break. But
yeah, something has to come together, man.
These guys are doing really backflips. The last 2 weeks, dropping 80.
Yeah, that secondary was just atrocious yesterday, man. Whether if it was Slay or Nelson, it was just both of them combined just got burnt.
And honestly, if we can find the positivity in the game yesterday, I mean, I feel like the offense, they held up as best they can. I mean, there was a guy that me and Gail were sitting with, and he put it pretty well in the fact that it, like, we were closer in that game than the score led on. That we were. I mean, the score tells you that it was somewhat of a blowout, especially before we got that garbage time score. But as far as the back and forthness of that game, I saw a stat when I got home. That was the fifth game in NFL history that didn't have a punt by either team. So with that alone, if we didn't have a punt, we clearly were moving the ball down the field. It was just embarrassing how we got into the within the 10 like three times, and we were not able to put the ball in the end zone. Our goal line red zone defense is absolute. I'm sorry, not defense. Our goal line offense is absolutely in shambles right now, and it quickly needs to be addressed because it's embarrassing that we're able to move the ball so well down the field, but when it comes time to actually put the ball in the end zone, you have no confidence in this team. Anytime they got within the 10, I'm like, I almost feel like we should get a false start just to give ourselves some more space to get to, so that we can get into the end zone.
Yeah, I just think
you got to knuckle up at times, man.
What do you mean by knuckle up, though? Like, what do you mean by knuckle up?
I mean, there's just kind of an identity, like where we it's like we're like kind of like a passive team, like defensively and offensively. Like, it's just like there's like, I don't know if it's just a feel for me. I feel like you got to knuckle up and come to fight. Like, when if you want to, you got 3 yards to score down by the goal line. If you can't get 3 yards, or like that opportunity where at like 1 yard, like, and you're doing all this trickery instead of just knuckling up and just going moving forward. Like, we had one point where the crowd in unison was yelling, "Run the ball, ball. Run the ball." And it was like, this is the part where down by the goal line, you want your crowd to. Jalen's like, "Could you please stop, quiet down?" And everyone's like, "I don't give a damn, run the ball." And we did run the ball, but we scored. Yeah, and everybody thought it was like, everybody patted their own backs. Like, yeah, we made that happen.
Yeah.
I thought the funniest part about that was after we scored and the field goal kicking team was out there kicking the extra point, we're still sitting there screaming, "Run the ball, run the ball." We're just trying to beat it into the coach's head on the sideline because what the hell, man? Honestly, what the hell? Yeah, well, yeah. How do you get down within the 5 and you don't run the ball one time when you got a first down? How do you do that?
I don't know. It's crazy, but, you know, speaking of balls. Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Philadelphia. Do we have a pew problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20.
Now, anybody that was down the lot at 6 o'clock, 6:30, and it was very limited amount of people that were there. But the ones that were would have saw me on top of my car using my Manscaped, getting myself ready for this game. The show will be here again next Thursday. But if you're ready for an out of this world experience, look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off not only in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 Weed Whacker, Weed Whacker Ear and Hair Nose Trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold in your whole solar system.
Don't forget to use the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and their Crop Reviver to help your little planets be on their A-game while feeling the sun's heat. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Abort Harry Balls and Buzz Lightyear that Woody with Manscaped. Get 20% off free shipping with the code side of FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
And also, Sirianni, the fans will thank you if you run the ball. Jerome says we need to have Sandra Bullock to call Sirianni on the sideline and yell, run the damn ball. Speaking of Sirianni, did you guys see him in the presser after? He just looked like someone. I saw a tweet where someone said he looked like he aged 10 years in like, like 4 weeks. I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's under the microscope. Obviously he's feeling the Philadelphia love. Would you say love, brotherly love from the fans?
He's feeling the heat. I would say
the heat,
the heat.
But again, man, his offense is without four offensive linemen. And speaking of offensive linemen, that a guy that's near and dear to our hearts, Lane Johnson, just being absent, and the whole idea of, like, you know, it being a personal issue. And just randomly, a person in his camp was actually at our tailgate. A close person in his camp was in his his chef was actually at our tailgate. Shout out to Justin. But like, there was a concern before the game when people were going around the tailgate, our tailgate. They're like, "Yo, Lane's not playing. Lane's not playing." And then I randomly was like, "Well, let me ask his guy. Like, is everything good?" He's like, "Yeah, just like," and he couldn't say anything. But overall, you're just like, it's got to be something real deal if Lane Johnson can't give it a go for a personal decision. But we're just, oh, you know, us guys over here just rooting him on. Make sure he's good over there, dude.
Absolutely, man. I mean, Lane Johnson, that's a guy who has been an absolute stud for us ever since we drafted him. He stepped in and instantly took that right tackle role and has been a pillar to this offense ever since. So anything that he's going through, you know, we support him through and through, of course.
Yeah, it was definitely some news that we weren't looking forward to hearing. I mean, it just caught us off by surprise. But, you know, I mean, I definitely don't want to go ahead and forget our actual chef, Evan. You know, what I mean, we appreciate you, bro. You know, what I mean, yeah, but Lane Johnson's chef was there. We're talking about Lane Johnson's chef, but yeah,
he was a cool dude too.
No, very cool. He was there with his little man. You know, we were kicking it for a little bit, but
he was trying to steal my recipes.
What's he putting the cheese over there?
That salt he's putting on that steak.
Yeah, but it was definitely, you know, he kept it plain and simple, you know, because he couldn't really share too much information, like Gail had mentioned. But, you know, yeah, we, you know, at the end of the day, you just hope that, you know, he's all right. And, you know, everything is, you know, okay with him and everything.
Now, we're actually recording during Monday Night Football, and Ray's having a common thought that a lot of Eagle fans get when they watch other teams plays. It hurts watching other NFL teams and how they play offense and defense. I mean, I, again, like, just that whole idea of consistency. Imagine being a Chiefs fan and just watching your offense just go. I mean, they're like the Energizer Bunny out there. Mm-hmm. Like they just go. And you know that maybe they might get stopped a couple times, but the way that our offense is set up, you know, depending on what defense we play, you never know what's going to happen with our teams. I mean, with our team. And it, the weird thing, someone was like, I heard that you guys are going to go to Carolina. And I'm like, yeah, they're like, you're really going to drive down there to watch? I'm like, it's getting to the point where people are selling their tickets. Like, whether it's Vegas, whether it's, I saw someone selling their Charger tickets. Prices went down at the link pregame. I know Prime and Tim, shout out to Tim, who was in from AZ. He's originally from this area, but I gotta preface that by saying that y'all got tickets that were cheaper. Like, so there's this whole theme of fans, like, and I'm not trying to fan police or anything, but this is two home games in a row where we're sitting in the crowd where you're down 10 points, right? Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity that, well, we had like 8 minutes left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 minutes left, and fans, little fans are leaving.
Yep. Like, I even reached out to you guys to find out if the seats were available. You know what I mean? You told me. Yep. They just got up and left. All right. We're on our way down. I mean, I had a couple people walk by me that were some followers, and they looked like I was walking out of the building. Nah, I wasn't walking out of the building. I was just going for some better seats. I was there to the end. You know what I mean? That's what we do. You know, we're there to support our team. And yes, we're going to Carolina. We're going to Carolina with our heads up, you know, still representing. Going to hopefully take over Carolina like we took over Atlanta. You know, this is what we do. I mean, this is what we're all about. Still, you know, rocking our team to the day, you know, to the season, to the very end of the season.
And now Lou from Facebook says, they're not fans. Those are Super Bowl fans. and there's this whole idea of, like, if it was called you know, they call it growing pains. If it was called growing yays, it would be a different, like these growing pains, they hurt. It's not, this isn't an exciting thing. Right. You have to go through it. And you either, I guess from a fan's perspective, you got to, like, some people aren't, I don't know, like, it's like a diehard thing versus a casual, or just like, again, like I feel like I have to support my team when they're going through these struggles, and not like jump ship as like, I'm not even tuning in. I'll see you at the draft. Like, I get it. But, you know, when it overtakes your whole being as a fan, like, I'm not even rep callers no more.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, especially when, I mean, we have gotten our reward within the past 5 years, man. We still do have that Super Bowl in our back pocket. And for all the people that, like, this is a fan base that embraced, including myself, the process with the Sixers for years, where we were the absolute dog trash or dog shit, you know, worst team in all of the NBA for years. And we almost wore that like a badge. And then you have the same exact people that were doing that walking out of the stadium with, you know, as the fourth quarter is just starting, essentially. So I don't understand the mentality of it. I'm not sure if people hold the Eagles in a higher regard than other teams. That could be it. But the frustration is understandable. But you also have to understand that there's only one team that wins a Super Bowl every year. You got 31 losers in the league every single year. And you can't expect to be a winner every year. But this is still my team every single year. Because I'm here for when they're good, man. I'm here for when they're good and for when they're bad.
Look at you. You're a ride or die. Adam from Facebook, he says, everyone truly should have known the season was going to be up and down, but always fly, Eagles fly. Again, you know, it is what, like, you know, the ebbs and flows of every NFL season, especially – we're a team that's looking for identity right now. And if you looked at Jalen Hurts' presser after, he said, we're this close. And that's the thing that we can hang our hats on. And, you know, the whole thing, it sounds like I keep on repeating the same thing. Like, Sirianni talks about, and doing the things that require no talent. And the things that require no talent are the mental mistakes and, you know, not being penalized for, you know, the fact that some of those scores are coming off the board. You're like, ah, you know, if we're going to go to the thing that you can control, you know, missing some of the throws, you know, the Jalen Hurts throw to Zach Ertz, you know, me and Chris had this long conversation, just talking about our birds on Saturday. And I was just like, you know what? I was like, yo, we have to take advantage of the seams. If Jalen can start taking advantage of the seams, I'm like, that's where we can start winning in the mm-hmm. seams, hitting the middle of the field. And when he missed that, I was like, ah, there's that the seam that I was talking about. But overall, I just think he did have a solid day. And I know, you know, pregame I passed off Ruben. Shout out to Ruben. You know, Rube knows. He had some really wild stats about Jalen's, his performance as of late. Mm-hmm. In the past, what were some of your favorite wild stats that Rube threw out there about Jalen?
I'll read this one for the people because I feel like this is something that has come up a lot. People talk a lot about like how Jalen Hurts has all these inflated numbers because of garbage time and all that. But this was a stat that I really think spoke to that. It says there's no question that Jalen Hurts has run the stats up in garbage time, like I just said, especially in the Dallas game. But it's also interesting to note that in meaningful situations, when the Eagles are either leading or trailing by fewer than 8 points, Hurts has completed 68% of his passes for 737 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception with a 102.7 passer rating, along with 132 rushing yards and a 6.6 rushing average. Which, I mean, for everyone to say it, I get it, that Jalen is putting up numbers in garbage time, but he's obviously performing very well in the regular part of the game too, not the garbage time. And honestly, as far as like passing yards are considered, I think back to when we had Carson, and I feel like it was very, very few and far between when he had a game over 300 yards passing. And I feel like Jalen just does that on the regular, man. Could that be because he has a guy like Devontae Smith and, you know, Dallas Goedert, all these guys around him? I don't know, but he gets the job done in the air and on the ground. You're muted, Prime.
There was a stat out there that somebody threw that Carson only had one game at 385 yards. And here, Jalen Hurts already surpassed that, having 387 only on his 8th game as an Eagle. So, I mean, like, that's huge. You know, something that we were definitely expecting from that man. Here we're getting that at a shorter time from this kid. Mm-hmm. The one that the paragraph that you pointed out was the one I definitely was looking at. I mean, that's key. The, you know, knowing that during the game and when it comes to it being real close, that's like where we get the best of Jalen. So we've been seeing that, you know, we saw it yesterday, until, you know, the defense definitely started collapsed even more than what they were collapsing. And then we also saw it on the game against San Fran, where we had the opportunity to go ahead and still win that game. And, you know, we were making moves and everything. But then, of course, again, the collapse. So it's just like it's there. I kind of like feed off of his reaction on the interview he had, where no matter what, at the end of the day, it was a loss and you don't want that, but we're getting there. And I do see that, at least on the offensive side, because once we get that piece of the puzzle together, now we got to definitely focus on this defense, because this defense looked good on paper. It falls into that category where, again, it looked good on paper, but right now they're not showing shit, and it's bad, man. I mean, I was really anxious to see this defense go to work, and now it's just like I don't even want to see no more.
Yeah, going back to one more point, I had the one stat from Rube. He said, pretty good company. In Jalen's first 8 career starts, Hurts has thrown for 2,086 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. He's one of only 9 QBs with 2,086 yards and 12 TDs in his first 8 starts, and along with Kurt Warner, one of only two with has five or fewer interceptions. But I think at this point in what we're watching right now, like we have to watch it play out. You know, as much as anyone saying in this room, he's the franchise guy for the rest. Like you watch it play out and you see how it goes, and we go from here. It's almost like dating in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like you figure out what works for you as a couple. Like you talk about the coach and the QB. It's a marriage, right? So like mm-hmm. when they get married, like that's when the guys, you got your franchise guy. You got these are two integral parts of a team that are the most important. So they have to be a marriage. Right now, this is like a dating phase where one has to learn the other's strengths. If you chew with your mouth open, you might want to close your mouth a little bit. If you snore, maybe Prime knows a little bit about snoring. I for one, I'm a snorer. So, I mean, this is part of the relationship where you got to figure out what you do best and make it work. So it hurts. It does hurt. No pun intended. It does hurt.
I guess what you did there.
Watching some of these growing pains. But what do you guys think? I'm going to ask you guys this question on the spot here and people in the chat. What do you think overall? It could be offense. It could be defense. What do the Philadelphia Eagles, the 2021 Philadelphia Eagles, do best?
Fuck up.
can you put that more eloquently?
What do the Eagles do best? You see, that's kind of it's a tough question because it's something that I feel like is a fluid kind of answer. I feel like they do something good that's different each and every week. For the first couple weeks, we had a really strong defense. And now, I mean, against the Chiefs and against the Cowboys, obviously, we were not able to contain. This past game, I think the offense did actually a pretty good job. Like I said earlier, we moved the ball down the field well. If I had to say one single thing, though, across all four games.
Yeah, that's rough, bro.
That's really rough. Good luck. I would love to hear this one.
Here's the guy.
I got nothing.
I couldn't see you come out with anything. Because, I mean, you said it yourself. It was up. Oh, it was down.
Thank you, Brian, my buddy. We punt well. We are great. Anytime we're called on to punt the ball, we can plant that shit within the 10-yard line like butter. Chef's kiss. Sip boss.
Now, Lou from Facebook says, throw the ball. Mama McCabe says, reel our hearts. Actually said, break our hearts. Excuse me. Todd says, have an unbalanced run to pass ratio.
We do that.
That's an interesting one. Mark says we do penalties well.
Mm-hmm. Especially Birdman. Derek Barnett might be an MVP penalty guy.
Yeah. Birdman says offense is better. I just think, I mean, we'll go with Prime. Prime, what is your thing that they do best?
It's tough, man. I'm a really be truthful that it's going to be – I can't give an honest answer. I mean, it's just – it's – again, Atlanta started off hot. Defense was – shut down. San Francisco defense was able to keep us into the game, but offense couldn't come through. And then the last two games, it was vice versa. Offense was kind of doing their thing, you know, Cowboys, but not enough. Then yesterday, same thing. They started making more plays and giving us more reasons to be excited, but then defense shit the bed. So it's kind of hard. But if there's one thing that I could just go ahead to narrow it down, they really know how to play with our emotions. and that's where they always get me, you know what I mean? Like, again, it was like, I wish I would have sent you guys a recording of Tim, and on his stories, he's excited, he's screaming out Eagles, singing the chant song, and then his next video was, you know, I'm getting really sick and tired of Sirianni. Doesn't want to run the ball. It was just like the perfect video.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw it on IG.
Yeah, I'm there watching it with Autumn. I'm like, look at this. Like, this is the perfect scenario right here on the Eagles fan. Like, it just went from 0 to 100 that quick. Like, but yeah, man. I mean, it's tough. These guys just really know how to go ahead and really play with my emotions.
And now Nuri from Facebook says Hargrave is a bright spot. Like,
certainly is.
I think for me, if I'm going to say what they do best, I mean they're best at being inconsistent right now. Like they're a Jekyll and Hyde team. Like offensively, what you know, some of the younger guys have stepped up and made some big plays. I've been impressed. They're still a young group. When it's all said and done, we have three wideouts who are young bucks. And when they talk about being a wide receiver in the NFL, usually kicks in year three where you're like, I get it now. I get what I'm supposed to be doing. We have three guys out there who are just balling on vibes. You know, you talk about Devonta Smith being pushed out, Rager being pushed out. Talk about alignment. Talk about play strength and the ability to stay inbounds is a thing a wide receiver coach will get on you about. But if I'm going to go like a thing that also to point out, we're best at showing what were our cards. So any opposing defense comes in, the Eagles are showing me this. This is probably what we're doing. That's what defensively to opposing, you know, offensive coordinators. Oh, this is what we're showing. Defensively, this is exactly what we're showing. Yeah. Yeah. So Jason Avant made a great point on the Q&A podcast. They're really a great listen from just in terms of, you know, guys that have been inside the building and the way they dissect it is really nice. It's just this refreshing to hear a point of view from players that were in the building. But I'd never seen Jason Avant that pissed before. He was just like, I can't believe that we don't hide. They're not hiding what they're doing. And again, I've been, this was pre this game, but we finally, I've been saying it for the last couple of pre-snap motion. We need this. We need all the bells and whistles, the misdirection to play off the strengths of Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. If you want him to be put his best foot forward, get the pre-snap motion going, get some misdirection, get the run game going. So we can do some things, nice things with this offense.
Before the run,
hey, you go shotgun and you throw three wide, and that's all we're doing is three wide. Like Sirianni made a point in his last presser about like knowing the way that they could break it down. But I was just like, no, I need you to move linebackers out of position and hit them with the inside zone. Like I need all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's unfair because I mean, you're going to go up against NFL talent each and every week, but with a team that has had the defensive struggles that we've had, I mean, did you really expect them to not get picked apart by Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, man. If there's anybody that's going to take advantage of everything that is being shown to him, it's that guy right there. He doesn't even need to. I mean, we talk about, I see in the chat, we got people talking about how Jalen Hurts is staring down the receivers too much. And I agree with you. That dude doesn't even need to look at what receiver he's throwing to. He can just cross-eye that thing, man. So you're muted.
Sorry, I got a question here for Meany. You want to go ahead and see all the previous players. Do you want to put them in the ring with yourself and smack them around for giving us this high hope of all the bullshit that they fed us with? That, you know, this guy is this guy is that. I mean, I'm not taking everything in, you know, and all from Sirianni. Like, I get it. He's a rookie coach. This is his first year as a head, you know, head coach. So it's a learning curve, and you know, you got to fail before you go ahead and succeed. I get it, but it's just like, come on, man. Like I'm really still trying to figure out what the hell the situation is with the run. Why are we not running the ball like the way we should be? We have the talent. We have Miles Sanders. We have Gainwell. Why are we not utilizing these guys the right way?
What is it? Countless runs.
But what is it against this run that you're not, you know, that you're not big on? Just help me understand.
I have a question that, I mean, you to throw in there, like, and this is something that that also Avant had like alluded to, that maybe one of the reasons why we're not seeing this version of Sirianni that Meany, aka Brian Heffron, I like to say Meany, but Blue Meany, but he said, could it be the front office that is, you know, we talk about the hooks in,
baby, you smart. You very smart. Matter of fact, you a genius.
And he alluded to that, that could be the reason. Like in maybe he put his foot down in the office and said, "Hey man, like let me do my ish." But like I'm gonna go back to Mahomes from a NFL stan point of view. Mm-hmm. Watching Mahomes for the first time in person. I mean, pretty when cool. when he
pretty cool.
You just like you're like. And then on top of that, Tyreek Hill, there was a play where he caught the ball at midfield, was surrounded by like five Eagles players. And when he bursted and took off,
yeah,
you're like, I wasn't surprised by that, but I was just like, jaw. I was like, bro, you see that, like that cheetah speed? That
I think you're thinking that was on a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Well, when he almost got the touchdown.
I'm thinking that he actually did get into the end zone one of the three times, and I was just kind of blown away by the same sort of thing. It wasn't even so much the burst that Tyreek Hill had; it was more the confidence that Patrick Mahomes had in Tyreek Hill, in that he kind of just—I don't want to say blindly, but he just kind of threw that ball straight up into the air, and then
like Tyreek 6 seconds
Hill
before
just had yeah. And he just threw that ball up as high as it could go, just so that Tyreek Hill could get that speed burst and run underneath of it. And like Tyreek Hill just found the spot to be. He threw it to the spot. That's all it was. And it was really impressive, man. It really was. I was like, damn.
I'm not gonna lie. That's the kind of thing that you do in Madden. You just throw it up, and that was like Madden. Like he threw it up, and he just went and got it.
Yeah.
Didn't they get rid of the
burst?
That's
what we got. We got a real life Madden play right in front of us yesterday.
Tyreek Hill's the type of guy that I'm not sure if you guys remember that. Was it a fantasy football commercial all those years ago where the dude put the ball in the jugs machine, then he put it in, and then he ran down and caught it? Like I don't doubt that Tyreek Hill could do that shit, dude.
shout out to AJ, by the way. Her and her sister showed up to the tailgate. Yes. Always good seeing y'all.
AJ
rocking her Dallas Goedert jersey, if I'm not mistaken. The million-dollar question. Million-dollar question. Todd is trying to answer. Maybe they're trying to preserve booby for later in the season.
I want some boobies now. That's what I'm saying. You need more booby now.
Free Miles, man. Like if you were Miles Sanders, let's put your and ask you guys and people in the chat. If you were Miles Sanders, what would be your mood right now?
I would probably replace the nose ring with one of those bull nose rings to just show how pissed off I am.
Well, I mean, how about yesterday? Did you guys recall when he had that nice little burst? I mean, it wasn't the real big, but it was a burst. And then once he was done, it was like he took that ball and he spiked it at the coaching staff.
Yeah,
like
I peeped the ball.
Like, give me the ball. Like, what's the problem? And I mean, like, I got hyped just seeing that. Like, let him know, man. Like, you're right. Feed him the ball.
Yep.
Now, Lou is saying he's pissed. Paul will say pissed and demand a trade. I said the T word. Todd says pissed. You saw him slam that ball. Nuri's putting a free Miles Sanders in the chat. Durley from YouTube. I'd ask for a trade. Wasting my talent. I've seen that collectively. Mm-hmm. Nuri's already thrown in. Let's trade the coach. That's not going to happen. you know, it, I just feel like, as a running back, you know, with his kind of explosive plays that he's already put that on tape. He's put it out there. The fact that they're not taking advantage of that, I think it's kind of disheartening.
So, you know, so let me ask you guys a question. So let's just say, hypothetically, I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here. Let's say we lose another one. We lose in Carolina. Season outlook isn't looking that good. Do we become sellers at the trade deadline? And who do we sell?
Ooh, that's kind of like speaking into existence.
Maybe I'm trying to align the stars for next season, man.
Yeah. Talking about trading the players or like
it's crazy to think about that. We're pretty much a quarter of the way through the season already. This season flies by, man.
Drew from Facebook, I'll let him answer it. Barnett. Lou says Dillard.
How about big money in the middle, Mr. 9-1? Yeah,
some are even calling for Cox.
9-1.
Yeah, but bro. what is a hit? Are we taking a hit if we trade him? I didn't look at the numbers, by the way, but I'm just saying. Ooh, Morris saying might be looking to sell Sanders and Goddard. I know that sounds crazy. Shout out to Morris, who was at the tailgate.
Why not Ertz though? Wouldn't the fan base rather move on from Ertz than Goddard at this point? I mean, we've already had the conversation. Oh, no,
we're talking about the value that you would get.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, like if you're, you know, you're gonna have to move.
Yeah, you get more value for Goddard at this point.
But again, that's a speak it into existence. I will not go there, me personally. Not right now.
Give it a week.
Not right now. We're getting in a car and driving eight hours.
It's not happening after this week, man. We're going to Carolina. We're going to get.
Yeah,
we're going to get
tell
that
them
w.
prime.
Yeah, we're
tell
going
them
get
prime.
That w in Carolina.
Tell
man.
Them prime.
I'll tell you right now, we're going to get that W in Carolina. We're going to come back. You know, we got Brady back in Tampa Bay now. It's going to be hopefully. You know, we get a good outcome out of that, but we're not losing to Carolina this weekend coming up.
Over under on bathroom trips.
Oh, okay, I'm gonna say
probably 20. Yeah, I think our trip's gonna be like 10-hour trip.
21.
8-hour trip turned to 10 hours. Or we're just gonna.
I want the higher number.
We just might hang you out the back of the.
There's a reason that I prefer the aisle seat in the plane, man.
Listen, if you get the 20, I'll make sure we stop so you can get 21. All right, get your ass in the goddamn bathroom.
Fair enough.
Let's see. Mark has made a very clever announcement. Kenny G is the future at R&B. I said R&B at running back. again, you know how excited we were come draft time to get a young man, Kenneth Gainwell, also Fletcher Cox's cousin, or maybe at this point he is. We could say Fletcher Cox is Kenneth Gainwell's cousin. See how I flipped it?
He's what?
See how I flipped it? I said, flipped it? You know, because, I mean, I just think he's showed up consistently. And we're talking about fifth round pick here, who's really doing his thing.
I wish our defense was as strong as Todd's bladder.
This guy's like nonstop. Cup in hand.
Go off. All right. I got it.
He's like, I wasn't even thirsty. I drank my own. Survived for days. Hey, Todd, are we going to see you in Carolina? That's the million-dollar question for bringing up that Miles Sanders question.
Yeah, who's going to be in Carolina? Let us know.
Hey, man, like at the end of the day, man, like these, again, we've this group here, we've – been living on a prayer through this pandemic. Yeah. We didn't see each other for like how long, and we're now, you know, vaxxed up, and we're trying to be safe and, you know, still enjoy life, live life. It's a wild thought, I know.
Hey, we might be eligible for the booster.
Okay.
J&J comes out with one, I'll get it.
Drew says I should go to Carolina. Change that. I will go to Carolina. Speak
it into existence.
Oh man. So
he's gonna know by the end of the week. Todd says he's gonna know by the end of the week.
You either have to ask wifey, or you get paid on Friday. Or he is betting tonight on tonight's performance, the Raiders versus the Chargers.
Yeah.
And if he wins, he goes.
Manscaped and vaxxed.
We're gonna have space for my my travel package.
any other thoughts? If any other people have any questions in the comments, please let us know. But any other thoughts you guys had?
I think that I just need to reiterate the fact that, like, I think that the Atlanta game, I don't want to say it was, I don't want to use the F word. I don't want to say it was a fluke. But it's Atlanta has proven to be a crappy team. And I think that we are just a team without an identity. We have growing pains going on right now. I think that the Atlanta game increased pretty much the whole fan base's expectations for what we can accomplish this year. And we kind of just got smacked down to reality the past few weeks. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're just kind of back to square one where we were before the Atlanta game even happened. The expectations aren't that high. We need to let these guys grow and learn together. Like I said, the only way that chemistry can really form is if the longer they spend together, the more reps that they run with each other. So I wouldn't panic if I were anybody. I would just buckle in. We got the rest of a gauntlet heading up, but the Eagles, I think, can surprise us this week down in Carolina. They sure as hell better. We're driving 8 hours to come see them. But yeah, thank you to everybody that ended up coming out to the tailgate. Once again, thank you to Conchi Tomato Pies. Thank you to Sal's Pizza for dropping off some steaks. And thank you for everybody who made it out. I love Tim in this picture. He looks like he's just photoshopped in there.
Just standing there. I'm a big grizzly bear. How y'all doing?
My turn.
Prime.
My turn. All right. Yeah, look. Just hang in there, man. We're going to Carolina. We're going to represent. We're going to try to take over the city. But the only way that's going to happen is if we get more of you guys to join us down there. Don't give up yet. You know, don't give up on the team. They're getting there. They're putting the pieces together. We still have a long way to go. We knew this coming into the season. So we should not be shocked on how things are going. It's a rebuild. Expectations were high from a lot of people. That was crazy, but and then, you know, some of us came to a realization that, you know, this is what it's going to be. So reality's hitting. I mean, especially these past two games. But the outcome going into this weekend should definitely be different. I really see us pulling a W in Carolina, changing the momentum somewhat. And it's something we definitely need when we go up against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay, you know, defending champions. It's a short week that week, and then, you know, heading into that Thursday night. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's fly, Eagles fly, no matter what. I also want to thank everybody that joined us yesterday at the tailgate. It was another successful tailgate. We had a great time. Shout out to Tim for coming down from Arizona. Had him stay with me over the weekend. So hospitality was all there for him. You know, he got up early in the morning. I know he was tired. He ended up getting a late flight back home yesterday. I think shout out to KD. What was his last name? I think it was Williams, who showed up with his wife.
Kyler. Yeah. Kyler.
Yeah, my man was real cool. Caught up with us the night before at Chicken and Pete's. So I'm glad we were able to get that in. And again, everyone that showed up yesterday, it was all about making sure that you guys were good. It's all about you guys. Always remember that. It's all about the fans and all about the support that you guys bring to the 4th and John tailgates. If it wasn't for that, you know, none of this would be successful. You know, just like I said, hang in there. You know, let's keep our heads up and let's go into this weekend to Carolina, you know, with some type of faith. We need it. All right. But again, fly was fly.
Hey, man, I'm a nickname. My nickname is Faith Evans because I am going down to Carolina because I have faith in this football team. I think they can turn around. They could turn around if they put it together. We want to see them put it together at the end of the day. There's been some inconsistencies. That's something that we've been looking at. There's been penalties. But overall, if they can get it together and put together, I'm not going to say a perfect game, but a solid game, and they're consistent on both sides of the football. A couple great stops out there by this defense. You're not facing Mahomes. You're facing Darnold, who's having a little rebirth down there. But I think the fans need to have a little rebirth. Show up, support your team, have a good time down there. Again, take over another city. Someone DM'd me that said the tailgate scene is not like Philly. So come down there and set up the tailgate. So or something we could do impromptu, maybe. Maybe. So we'll see what happens. But overall, I feel like, again, we will be going to Carolina and then coming back on Thursday, a night tailgate. So this should be a perfect opportunity to get your first night tailgate in. Maybe we might have some lights set up. Might Club have a good John. Time.
Club John.
Club John. Club John might be out. So for those who haven't attended a night tailgate, here's your opportunity to do so. Again, shout out to Bud Light for sponsoring the tailgate, and Conchi Bakery always throws it down. Love you guys. And they put in cannolis. Those cannolis were a big hit at the tailgate, by the way.
Yeah. Awesome. They're awesome.
They're kind of cool. Shout out to Tina for making that happen.
Yeah.
Tina is legit. But overall, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we always ride for our birds. And at the end of the day, it's always fly, Eagles fly. And we'll see you guys in the next one.